So we are going to making our way, continuing through the book of Mark into chapter 10 now. So for those of you keeping count, there is 15 chapters. So we are getting there. We're getting there. For those of you who want this sermon series over, it's been a good trek, I think. Right? I think it's been a good trek. So anyway, we're going to keep on going. We're going to keep on pulling through. We are going to hit pause in September, but I'll speak about that in August. So, all right. There are a few preaching styles out there, by the way. So if anybody here ever study homiletics? Did anybody study homiletics? Dave, did you take homiletics? So there's a couple, as I hone my craft, I got to know some things. So by the way, I'm always working on making my presentation better, and there is nothing sobering than listening to yourself preach, by the way. So if you guys ever had to do presentations and have to listen to yourself, it is brutal. So I feel sorry for you having to listen to me every Sunday, so I apologize. But let's get into some preaching stuff. So there's expository preaching. This is going somewhere, so I'm not just going to bore you to death. So I have a plan. Expository preaching, that's drawing out of the text. There's textual, where the subject drives the narrative, right? So whatever you're talking about, it drives where you're going. I think I'm mostly expository. I preach a lot of expository preaching. There's topical preaching. By the way, that's where you take a topic, where you take multiple verses on the same theme, and you preach a big theme on multiple verses, right? There's also one more. This is awesome. There's actually one more version. There's suppository preaching, by the way, and that's when you know your pastor's full of something. So just so you know, that's such a good joke. But there's one more that's becoming more and more prevalent, and that is hot topic of the week preaching. Hot topic of the week, or what we call a headline-driven church. A headline-driven church, the pastor will usually preach about hot, charged, emotionally charged topics. Because they're coming straight out of the headlines. Now, not to say that you should never preach about things that are in the news. I never say that. But when that's the only thing you preach, I think you miss out on what God is trying to say, and you make preaching more about the issue than you do about God's desire to move in something. I'm not saying we should never. I've paused sermon series, especially when we had to talk about race and we talked about other issues. I've paused it when I felt movement of the Spirit. But there's headlines that people don't talk about, right? And I want to talk about some headlines here today. These are some headlines. Where are my Babylon Bee people? And where are my Babylon Bee people? Okay. Babylon Bee, pretty awesome. So these are headlines straight out of the church. You guys ready? Just so you know, heaven announces BBS volunteers will receive bonus Tesla upon entering heaven. Just so you know. Just announced, by the way. Isn't that awesome? These are real articles. This whole thing. It's like the Onion for church, just so you know. This is all fake. If you can't tell, this is all satire, by the way. So, all right, husband does his part to get family ready for church by shouting, kids, it's time to get ready for church. That's amazing. That's brilliant. Ooh, this one's good. Weird, Christians who claim they'd be back after COVID are still absent. Ouch, that one hurts. Okay, anyway. Congregation braces themselves for a rough 7 minutes after worship leader says the next song is an original. just so you know, Jim, what's really going on out here. Challenge accepted. Seven. We wrote this myself. This is a good one. Christian's sad. He has nothing to look forward to on Sundays now that football season is over. I'm looking at you, Telica. Just so you know, Telica is the biggest football fan ever. And by the way, she's go Packers, just so you know. She likes the Pack. I know, right? Mm-hmm. All right, seriously. But seriously, this is the church model, right? This is the church model that we take topics out of the news and we present them. Now, this is funny. We're all laughing. But there are a lot of times when we take topics right out of the news, and like I said, it's never a bad thing to talk about issues that are affecting the church. But I think sometimes when we are so driven by headlines and the news, I think sometimes we can lose ourselves in that. And I want to share with you, and I want to get to the heartbeat of an issue. We're going to read Mark chapter 10, and we're going to see there's an issue that's going to be thrown at Jesus, and it was a hot topic, and we're going to talk about that. So do me a favor, turn to Mark chapter 10 for me, and we're going to see this is a big deal. So Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Here it is. Jesus left that place and went into the region of Judea across the Jordan. Again, the crowds of people came to him, and as was his custom, he taught them. Some Pharisees came and tested him by asking, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" "What did Moses command you?" he replied. "It said Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away." "It was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote this law," Jesus replied. "But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his wife and his mother and be united to his wife. The two will become one flesh, and so they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." When they were in the house again, the disciples asked Jesus about this. He answered, "Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her, and if she divorces her husband and marries another man, she commits adultery." Now, we have this verse here, and many of you have heard this verse or read this verse, and we use this as a model for relationships, especially marriage, you know. And so, but before we just start making some things about the text, I want to dive in here a little bit, by the way. So let's continue on our trek. Jesus is now in this area here. We are moving closer and closer to one place. Anybody know where, as we're getting closer and closer to? Anybody know? Jerusalem. We're getting closer and closer to Jerusalem. And by the way, heads up, there is a huge time gap between Mark chapter 9 and Mark chapter 10. Ancient literature really wasn't concerned about you having a chronological time in your head. They wanted you to have the facts. Here's what happened. They don't want, if there's a gap time in the middle, they really don't. John is the only person who really cares about time. That's why he gives you Passover 1, Passover 2, and Passover 3. If it wasn't for John, we wouldn't know how long the time was that Jesus' ministry was. But it's because John writes about the Passovers that we know. Look, we missed all of Luke 9 through 18 and John 7 through 11. That is healing of the lepers, lost coin parables, right? Lost son parables, the raising of Lazarus, right? Kind of big deals, right? Mark skips right over it. Let's get to the meat, right? And so we find ourselves here. The next thing he writes is about this verse on divorce that Jesus was teaching, and all of a sudden these Pharisees came and started talking to him about divorce. By the way, all this to say, we're getting really close to the cross. We're getting really, really close. In fact, it's going to heat up even more. Chapter 12 and 13 is going to be like Last Supper narrative. It's going to really start to heat up. Anyway, let's get back to this verse, by the way. So here we have the Pharisees come, and they come before him, and they want to ask him about divorce. Now, there's a word there that I want to share with you that kind of gives kind of like a hint that this wasn't just a question on divorce. There's something bigger going on here. Anybody see that word? Lawful, yeah, there's one there. Their intentions for asking Jesus. They what? They tested him. They were testing Jesus. "Hey, Jesus, we want to know like kind of like what's going on here. So we're going to ask you, what's your thoughts on divorce?" Right? Kind of odd, asking Jesus out of nowhere. Let's test him with this idea of divorce. By the way, divorce was a hot topic in Israel. Right? Hot topic. Two schools of thought on the matter. One, the Mosaic law was only for serious offenses. There was another school of thought that a man could send his wife away if she burnt dinner. I'm serious. Two schools of thought. What's with the glaring eye, man? For real. Jeez Louise. Right? But people, These two rabbis had all these people all up in arms about it, and everybody wanted to know, right? And while this was going on, there was one thing going on in the background that made this thing, the hot news of the land. And we already talked about this. It cost somebody their life. Does anybody remember there was a hot topic at the time? This was probably back in like verse 5 or chapter 5 or 6. John the Baptist. What happened to him? He got, for what? What did he speak up against? You got it. Herod. This was a hot topic. The king of Israel at the time, which was more like a puppet king, said to his wife, "You're not my wife anymore. Get out. Oh, look at this beautiful wife." And she comes in. And next thing you know, now there's political turmoil because the family of the wife that he sent away is now going to come against Israel with an army. It is hot topics right now. It is like, you name it, right? So now the Pharisees want to test Jesus and be like, "Hey, what's your thoughts on the divorce?" Right? It was emotionally charged. It was politically charged. There's a lot going on here. So, what is Jesus? They want to know, what is Jesus going to say about it? Now, many of us are news junkies. I get it. Like, some of you, you have that, like, if you're like me, you'll go between, like, okay, I'll go between Facebook and the news and find out, like, what's going on. And half the time, you get your news from Facebook before you even get it from the news, right? And so you're like, what? So I'm there, too. I want to know what's going on in history and world events and all that kind of stuff. And so I'm kind of like a news junkie. And there are explosive topics surrounding the modern-day church, right? And depending on how we handle them, we can sound like a banging gong. Now, we're going to talk about that in a few moments. But this was Jesus. They came to Jesus and said, "We want to talk about one of the hottest topics in the land, right? What are you going to say?" And Jesus is going to handle this pretty well. 12 minutes, just so you know, right there. Anyway, that was a baseball joke. She goes, "It takes about 12 minutes to get to that question." Then everybody knows, okay, we only have a little bit more to go. So that's wrong. All right. So what do we need to know, right? So just so you know, I really talk about some of the hot topics addressing the church, and I'm not saying that we should never talk about some of the. And listen, there's some emotionally charged topics out there, right? Same-sex marriage, hot topic right now. How is the church going to deal with that, right? Women in ministry, oh my gosh, like you touch that one, it's whoo, like that is emotionally charged, right? You keep going, right? When it matters of pride and divorce and the list goes on. What is the pastor going to say this week that's going to get people riled up? And so the problem is that the church has almost given itself a black eye sometimes on the way we handle some of these topics. Now, I'm not going to sit here and talk about all those topics here today. But what I want to do is I want to show you how did Jesus deal with the hot topics of the day. Right? Did he get emotionally charged and start screaming at each other? How did he do it? Well, we've already seen it. Jesus goes back to the Father. That's where he goes. Go back to the Father. Hey, look. What did he say? He says, "Listen, it was because your hearts were hardened, but at the beginning, God, this is what God did in the beginning. Let's go way back to see what is the root? What is the heartbeat of God on this matter? Can we stop yelling and get emotionally charged and just go back to the Father and see what he actually thinks about something?" And that's where Jesus was. He goes, "What do you care what I say? I care about what the Father says about the topic." That's what I want to know. And by the way, we're going to touch on divorce a little bit in a good way. But, like, Jesus has this superb way of handling this, right? He goes right back to the Father. He goes right back to the person that he knows has the best intention, knows it all, and should be the model by which we're following, right? I love it. So first thing he does is he goes back to the Father. Right there. 2, Jesus tries to understand their motives for asking the question. Right? Why are you asking this? Right? And we see it right there. Mark kind of, by the way, this, notice Mark, he's like, nothing really happened. You know, nothing really happened between Mark 9 and 10. Well, Jesus kind of raised somebody from the dead. That's kind of a big deal. You know, Jesus did these amazing miracles. Mark's like, we're going to keep moving on, right? And then he's like, ooh, these Pharisees came and they wanted to like really press Jesus on this really hot topic issue. So he starts writing it. And so what he does pick up on, he knew what their intentions were. So there are going to be hot topics that we are not going to be able to answer all the... Listen, the world wants to know, what does the church think on certain things? And our answer should be, hey, I want to know why you're asking that question. Because there's heartbeats, right? There's heartbeats. Oh, because my friend lives this lifestyle. Oh, because we feel oppressed in church and or whatever. I want to know the heartbeat behind why you're asking this. And second, let's go to the Father. Let's go to the Father and see what he says about the matter. Because I want to get the closest to the Father. That's my ultimate goal. Let's get as close to the Father as possible and live and do what he says, right? By the way, Mark already has reported that Peter, James, and John heard the voice of God who said, this is my son whom I love, listen to him. That is the voice of the Father speaking over Jesus. And Jesus is saying, you go what? You come to me? Well, guess what? Now I'm going to go to the Father. It's this beautiful relationship. So, we're going to talk about, today we're going to talk about, I got 3 points. I'll go through them quick. I know it's getting hot. So I'll go through them quick. We're going to talk about, how do we deal with hot topic issues in church? And then I'm going to talk about divorce a little bit because Jesus made it a big deal to talk about divorce. So anyway, I don't know where you're at this morning. Maybe you have friends that have asked you questions and you're like, I just don't know how to answer them. Maybe you find, or maybe there are people, it's not lost on me that relationships are hard and that some of us are maybe even read this verse and we feel like broken about this. Well, it's my desire that God restores you. So let's take a moment, let's pray, let's go before the Lord, and let's seek him. Lord, it is our desire here this morning to get as close to you as possible. Lord, you've said if we've seen you, we've seen the Father, and we want to know the Father, to know his love, to know his hope for us, and to know it all. So Jesus, we ask for your blessing. We ask for your peace. We ask for your discernment. And so, Lord, there's people here who are broken. Lord, let us get restored today. And there's people here who are questioning the church's motives or intents. Lord, let us never be a place to make a topic bigger than Jesus and what he desires for us. And so, Lord, lead us in this. Thank you for your love. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, please hear me out. I'm not saying the church should bury its head in the sand. But what I am saying, in all things, we need to go to the Father. And by the way, with that being said, in all things, no matter what, number one, love. Many of you had this read on your wedding day, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, right? We read it. It was a great day. It was probably super hot or cold, depending on your budget. Right? You know, and you had this read out there, right? If I speak in the tongues of men or angels but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. I love this passage. I love it. Oh, my mic's getting messed up. Hold on. We're going to keep it like that for a minute. Am I on? Off? On? We're good. Okay, good. So I want to talk about this a little bit. I love this verse because Paul is saying, listen, no matter what I do or say, if I don't have love, I'm annoying. That's what he said. Let me the MSV, right? Matthew Standard Version, right? So this is what it says. If I don't speak with love in all things, I am annoying. Just so you know, that's how you sound and I sound when we do not have love. A banging. Who here has kids? Whoever bought their kid a drum set? I want to know, who are those people? Anybody here? Right? You regretted that decision pretty quickly, didn't you? Right? Okay, one day Jack thought it was a great idea to give all the kids in the youth group whistles. Okay? It was the worst decision he ever made in his life, right? It was awful, right? Because it's just shrill noise, right? That's what he's saying. Like, you are an annoying sound if you do not have love when you speak. And you can do all, you can speak in all these amazing crafty tongues. You can be as brilliant as you want to be. You can speak so eloquently about any topic. And if you don't have love, guess what? You're what? Annoying, right? Take that with you. The pastor called me annoying today. Right? Hot topics are just that. They're hot, right? They're emotionally fueled. People become explosive when they talk about them. And guess what? Social media has not made it any easier, right? Right? Because this is what we do, right? Oh, my God, I'm just a mirror. Oh, my God, let me tell my side of the story. Oh, my goodness. Right? They're hot topics. They're emotionally charged, right? And the Pharisees wanted Jesus' hot take. What was he going to say about Herod? Was he going to support Herod? Was he going to support divorce? Can he say, I can just take, get the boot, like you burnt the rice. Get out, right? What was he going to say? And by the way, there is a huge, endless supply of topics that we could talk about today. I only put about the few that are up there, right? The list goes on and on and on. Roe versus Wade, gun control, pride, pastor embezzlement, pastor's involvement with scandals in church, all you name it, right? They're everywhere, right? Go back to Paul's words. Right? Do you have an opinion on any of those matters? I'm sure you do. And I'm sure you want to share it. Right? Look what he says. If I speak in the tongues of men or angels, do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have faith, look at this, can you imagine? If I have faith that can move mountains and I do not have love, I'm what? I'm nothing. I'm more than annoying. I'm less than annoying. I'm nothing. In all things, no matter how we talk about, in today's culture, in hot topic, if somebody presses you for an issue, the first thing we want to do is like, hey, can I ask why you're asking that question? Do you think the church hates this? Do you think the church feels this? Can I just ask? I want to know. I want to know you. I want to love this person. I want to know why you feel that way first. And then let's get to the root of the issue. Sure, we might have a difference of opinion, but that doesn't mean maybe you're misunderstanding me. Maybe you're misunderstanding the heart of the Father. Maybe you're misunderstanding whatever that might be. Right? Because if we miss out on this, the church is going to sound pretty annoying. And even more than that, or less than that, depending on, the church can just give itself a pretty big black eye by becoming, if we can do all these amazing things. Listen, if somebody came in here and was like, all right, I'm going to move that, like, post office, like Yoda, like put it over there, right? You'd be like, that's pretty impressive. But if they're a jerk, guess what? You guys are going to be like, that guy's a jerk, right? That's what Paul's saying. And so all this to say, how would our actions and words differ if we just added a tablespoon of love? Just a tablespoon of love. How would your interactions be with people who have a difference of opinion? How would your interactions be if somebody you feel personally attacked? How can we disarm that attack and be like, you know what, stop. Can I ask why you're asking me that question first? Because I have an opinion on the matter, and I care about you that you're asking me of my opinion. Thank you. How would it just look different? We just added just a spoonful of love. No Mary Poppins here today. Just a spoonful of love. So number one, no matter what, love, number one. Let's go to number two. Let's talk about divorce. But at the beginning, God created man and created them, male and female, for this reason. A man will leave his wife and be united to his... man will leave his mother, be united to his wife, and two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Divorce has been an issue with the church for a very long time. Some churches have very strict rules against divorce. Some churches have very lenient rules about divorce. Right? And by the way, marriage has been something that's so important to God, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. You guys are going to help me so you understand how important divorce is. important marriage is, right? But listen, the church has had a history of using verses like these, I believe, to allow people to be in situations that maybe they shouldn't be in. And by the way, let me just say this. If you're in an abusive relationship today, you need to get out. I do not believe that God wants anybody to be abused. If that is like physical separation, if that is they violated the covenant of treating God's most precious creation in a way that is awful or demeaning, like, listen, I do not believe that we can use verses, hey, well, God is joined together, no one separate. When they, I mean, especially when you talk about domestic violence, it's a huge issue in today's world, right? I mean, you see it all the time. And the reality is we don't want to see, I would never want to see anybody in an abusive relationship. But just so you know where your pastor stands on this, no person should ever be abused in a relationship, ever. Marriage is meant to be something that is amazing. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But anyway, let's keep going. Jesus takes the Pharisees back to the origin of marriage. Let me get back on track here. But we've allowed divorce to be corrupted, and we've used this to undermine marriages, right? We've used verses like God hates divorce, right? We've used verses like God hates divorce in Malachi. And by hear this, I need people to hear this today. I know that we have people from all over. There's people listening online. If you've been divorced, it's true that God, his heart breaks over the lament of the broken relationship. God does hate divorce, but he does not hate you. And you need to hear that today. I think so often we've guilted people to be in relationships they should not be in, especially if they're destructive or hurtful. And so I want us to understand today, listen, marriage, and we're going to talk about how awesome our marriages should be. But we have to talk about divorce, right? God's desire for marriage is that it is a place where purity and honesty prevail, right? That's why he says these verses here. Hey, anyone who divorces his wife and marriage, he's looking at Herod. He's looking at Herod, and he's saying, guys, this is the way that it's been corrupted. Right? This is wrong. Like, there's no way a guy can just be like, dude, you're gone. Like, see you later, sweetheart. See ya. Like, just abandon this, the vow, abandon the heartbeat, abandon all of it. Like, Jesus is calling Herod on the carpet about divorce. And the heartbeat behind it is that we are called to try at every place to come back to that Ephesians 21 passage. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That as husbands and wives coming together, and by the way, just because a marriage is broken doesn't mean it can't be restored, but it's going to take God. It's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit to move in your marriage to bring about reconciliation. But it has to be through Jesus. It can't be through anything else. And so, by the way, I'm not granting any, just so you know, I'm not granting any divorces today. That's not how this works. And that's not going to happen. Restoration is always my desire. Divorce is the last option. But so you know, it hurts me when you hear women who just endure in a loveless marriage, in a broken marriage, in an abusive marriage. It's heartbreaking for me. And so Jesus did give some examples of why things can end it, but that's not the way it was meant to be. The way that it was meant to be, God's design for marriage is awesome. Awesome. Right? Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Marriage is important to God. Ready? So here, a little test. Here we go. All those who just know your Bible here, help me out. Genesis chapter 1. God created the, first day one, let there be light. He created the light. He said, it is what? Yeah, right? He says, right? Day two, creates the land and the water, says, it is what? Wow, this is an easy test, right? Day three, at the end of that, he says what? Four? Five? Six? Trick, seven? Rest. There you go. Duty, 70 rested. Then, Genesis chapter two, we get a sneak peek to the inside of perfection, right? Adam and Eve hanging out with God in all perfection, right? Not yet, because Adam's not made yet. In fact, it's Adam there with all the animals. It says God brought all the animals, and Adam's like, turkey, rhinoceros. That's a funny one, right? Right. Like he's bringing all these animals to him. He's naming all these animals. And all of a sudden, it says a helper was not suitable for Adam. And he says, it is not what? Not good for man to be alone. Stop there for a moment. Perfection. Was sin even a thing yet? No. Perfection. Day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, good. Inside of day 6, man is alone, and all of a sudden, God says, you know what could make perfection even better? Marriage. He says, wow, it is good for man to be together. Check this out. Come here, Adam. Makes Eve, right? When you, the intention for marriage, the original intention for marriage was to make perfection better. Isn't that amazing when you think about that for just for a second? It's incredible, right? And I think we lose sight of this. But according to the creation narrative, and Jesus goes back to that creation narrative, it's like, hey, from the beginning, what it was meant to be was awesome, right? Marriages are called to reflect, strengthen, and raise, right? What they're called to reflect forgiveness, selflessness, intimacy, right? That's what marriages are called to do. In our marriages, we're called to forgive like Christ. We're called to reflect. We're not supposed to make it about us, but make it about the other person. Remember, these are kind of vows that we made. I don't know if you guys are sitting on a hillside or a mountaintop or something like that. You made these kind of vows to each other, right? Oh, I'm going to make it all about you, right? And like you guys are all like starry-eyed, looking at each other. It's going to be great. It's going to be so awesome. Oh, my God. Yeah, 10 years down the road, yeah, I'm going to make it about me, right? Like that's just how things go. But the way it was meant to reflect was forgiveness, selflessness, and intimacy, by the way, all that are found in Jesus. Intimacy within a marriage is called to reflect the intimacy within the Godhead. Right? They're called to strengthen. Marriages are called to Marriages are called to strengthen. Called to strengthen our church, our communities. Right? Each other. Did you ever have a strong married couple come alongside a younger couple and just be like, there was that couple that came alongside you that were like, that helped you along in the Lord? Tab and I had so many just amazing married couples that came and spoke into our lives. Hey, here's how you make it about the other person. Hey, here's how you make this thing amazing. This is what they're supposed to do. And ultimately raise godly children and the expectation of what a relationship is. This is God's design for marriage, and it is awesome. All that to say, it looks very little like Herod was doing. And as a community, as a church, as believers, our marriages are called to do the same thing. God's design for marriage is awesome. And guess what? If we are living up to what the Father's plan for marriage is, you're going to see divorce rates plummet. Because all of a sudden, they're a place where forgiveness happens, where we're selfless, we make it about the other person, we reflect intimacy in a marriage. It's amazing. God's design for marriage, I'm going to keep saying it because it's true. God's design for marriage is what? Awesome, right? I probably said it like 18 times. I don't even care. Right? Like, it's the way it's meant to be. I mean, let me go back real quick. Hold on. Can I go back? There we go. All this to say, in all things, we go back to the Father. For Jesus, there was a hot topic of the day. A hot, hot topic. And it was divorce. And everybody wanted to know, what was Jesus going to say? And Jesus responded in love and brought everything back to the Father. Hey, here's how things are supposed to be. And if things looked like this, you wouldn't be having this problem today. And Herod definitely wouldn't be acting like that. So today's a day that I want us to be people. When hot topics come our way, when you're confronted with them, stop for a moment, don't get defensive, but respond in love. Go back to the Father and articulate why the Father feels the way he does. The Father has a certain amount of feelings and a heartbeat issue on it because of his divine love for his creation. So, take a moment, because now we have to respond to this. There's a lot here. I gave you hot topics. I gave you divorce. I gave you marriage. I gave you a whole bunch of stuff today. And when we walk out these doors, we have an opportunity to forget what I said, to take something that I said and apply it to our lives. And by the way, it is always my desire that you take something from this time together. Maybe that's you want a better marriage, and I have to start living up to the expectations that God has for me. Maybe you're in the midst of a marriage that is falling apart, and we want to turn things around. Well, it's time to go to the Father. Maybe there's somebody here who's confronting you with a hot topic, or you don't know how you feel about a certain topic today. Maybe today's the day where I want to know what the Father knows about this, and I want to hear his heartbeat about it. Maybe you're here this morning, and you've been through that rocky road of divorce or a difficult marriage, and you want God to bring some healing your way today. I don't know what it is today, but I want us to come before the Father, experience his goodness, and then leave being changed and redeemed. So let's go, but let's do that now. So whatever that is, I'm going to give you a few moments. God has spoken heavily in this room, and he wants you. You know how great it would be? We create a new headline. There's a new headline. Church acts like the church. Wouldn't that be amazing? Where love is found, where marriages are restored, where broken people find the goodness of Jesus. That's a worthy headline. And the only way we're going to do it is by bringing the Holy Spirit to a place where he's going to do an amazing work. Let's go before him now. Lord, you're in this room. You're moving among us. And there's people here this morning that maybe need to hear a couple things. Maybe they need to hear how loved they are. Maybe there are people here who want to see their relationships restored. Maybe there are people here who feel that the church has abandoned them or broke them or lied to them, I don't know, maybe abused them, I don't know. What I am here to do is allow you to do your thing over your people. And your thing is to bring about reconciliation, to bring a sense of love and hope and peace, to strengthen marriages here today, whatever that might be, to bring people maybe back from the brink of divorce, about making this relationship more about the other person and definitely more about the Lord than ourselves. And so, Lord, have your way here today. Move among us. And so I don't know what my friends are thinking right now. Maybe they're thinking, well, Lord, you know what they're thinking. And so, Holy Spirit, we are crying for your help. We're coming before you, for you to have an encounter here today and leave us strengthened, redeemed, encouraged, knowledge, to have more knowledge, whatever it might be. Holy Spirit, have your way here today. And thank you that we have the word, your word, that Mark wrote here. That you respond in all things in love. And so as you responded here today, thank you, Jesus. We give you praise, honor, and glory. And let you seal the deal here today by the power of your Holy Spirit. Sanctify this day. Use this as a holy moment that we come before you and write something on the tablet of our heart. Today, I'm going to change my whatever that might be. Holy Spirit, use this as an opportunity to strengthen our lives, our community, our culture, our church. Go before us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.